Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Standing on the mountain looking down on a city, the way he ought to feel is a doggone pity. Teardrop falling down the mountain.
Welcome back. 17 coming hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number 3, The Third Ingredient. Rick Hahn is here. He's a new friend, but not for long. He's the retired executive, started his career in the aerospace industry, and he's retired from corporate America now, but he survived the corporate jungle. He lived to fight another day, and he decided to write a book about his experience as he passed through the ethical gauntlet that was corporate America, that still is corporate America, I think. And he wrote a book about that called Executive Malice, and I encourage you to find it. Is that available wherever books are sold, Rick?
It is available, of course, on Amazon. And it was published up here at Village Books in Fairhaven, Washington. But I have a website, thegoodmanageronline.com, one word, thegoodmanageronline.com, and you can, it's got links to the book right there on the website.
So one of the things you did in your book, which is something that I did, was use characters to tell the story. I had never written in narrative before. I'd never written in dialogue before. I'd always written in narrative, and of course it was my opinions, you know, my knucklehead opinions. But I thought, well, in the case of ethics, if you just state your opinion, then that's my ethical opinion. But if you approach it from a standpoint of a character dealing with an ethical situation, then that serves everyone, and that's what you did in your book.
Exactly. And I didn't really realize I hadn't read your book when I wrote mine. So it was after I finished my book where I learned about the fear and greed being held in equilibrium by analog ethics, or as we're facing now, digital ethics. And I realized that the character I created is a senior executive. His name was Arthur O'Donnell. And he was obsessed with fear and greed to the point where he actually tried to put a major aerospace company out of business on purpose, for his own personal gain.
Sort of like maybe he could have also gone after a social media company. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have digressed. go ahead. Finish your story.
So it was actually in the early 90s, and I had a very much of a epiphany experience. I was in the ninth floor. That's the executive tower had a ninth floor, and I was sitting with VPs, senior executives, and the president of the company. This is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. President of the company goes to the window. He stares out over the parking lot. It's shift change, and so there were about 58,000 people working at the company at the time. And he watched them stream to their cars, huge parking lot. And he said, turned around, and he said, "That really, really, really pisses me off." Pardon my French. And he said, "Why don't they run to work? That's what's wrong with our company. Wow. They're running to go home. They're not running to come to work." And then he turns around to the rest of the VPs, and he looks right at him, and he says, "I want to know what you're going to do about it. What are you guys going to do about this problem?" So he was taking no responsibility.
It never occurred to him that nobody ever explained to him that what he was observing was corporate culture, and it was coming from him.
Exactly. So perfectly said. So I'm in a conference room just following that meeting with two friends, and we're talking about the failure of the latest improvement program. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. And one of them says, "You know, there's no way a multi-billion-dollar corporation can be this poorly run accidentally. I believe somebody's trying to put this company out of business on purpose. It has to be intentional." And my other friend said, "You know, that would make a good book." And that was in 1994, and I actually started Executive Malice in 1994. Then I got a better job at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Life got in the way, family, etc. So I put it aside. I picked it back up.
Did you find out that there was something, somebody was intentionally trying to do it, or was it just that much incompetence?
No, it just appeared that way. So I took that storyline and I needed something cathartic. It was about time for the ethical people, the good managers and employees, and there are hundreds and thousands of us out there who really try and do the right thing every day. It was about time for them to win one. And so that's where the concept of executive malice came from. And my heroine, Terry Harlan, she's just a good, solid, ethical senior executive who's trying to do the right thing. And she comes back to our old company and finds out it's been infested by a bunch of unethical, just horrible senior executives that are driving the company into the ground.
What do you think? What's the lesson for us? What's the lesson for the all those good people you were talking about that are out there, and they are out there. We know they are. Most of them are. What's the lesson? What's the instructions that you have for them?
I think the lesson is accountability. Be accountable for yourself. You know, the key to good management is to actually want to help your employees do a better job. So you need to understand the product and service that they're creating, that they're working so hard to produce. And then good managers actually help them do that by setting up an environment where they can succeed, by being ethical, by having some integrity, by doing what you say you're going to do and working within a system that holds people accountable and doesn't let them hide behind the management hierarchy.
And I fear then that this is the thing that I've been trying to focus on. I fear that technology has helped people hide from their responsibility. The algorithms did.
Boy,
how many times have I heard the algorithms did? So when we come back, I want you to dwell on that a little bit for us. I want you to tell us what you think we can do as if we, because you know, I know, I think you probably agree with me on this, Rick. We got a lot of problems in America. If we don't, we're going to have to solve them at the grassroots level. I hear where you and I are. Washington, Wall Street, and Silicon Valley is not going to, they're part of the problem, and they've linked up now in cyberspace. We've got to solve this on Main Street.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.